Today is part two of our discussion with the Hear Clearly Group, and today I'm joined by the co-founder of the Hear Clearly Group, Frank Lifson. Frank, a very big hello to you.
Thank you so much, Ian. I'm really pleased to be with you today.
It is good to have you, and I believe you've got such an interesting story to share with us regarding the history of Hear Clearly and how it all came about, and I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, well, it went like this. I was doing my own version of a type of body work in a little town in the middle of the Karoo called Crofinet, which is one of the prettiest and most beautifully historical towns in South Africa. Mm. And I was doing body work and I was enjoying it. And I just happened to bump into someone who became a friend and a mentor. He was a German hearing aid acoustician who'd studied for 5 years in Vienna, and he was based in East London. And I had originally, for my sins, learned to repair TVs when they first came out. And I, with my experience in clinical work of dealing with people in a clinical environment, I thought that learning about hearing aids, which is a combination of clinical and electronic background, it all came together. I met Michael Screever, Dr. Screever. As I say, he studied in Vienna. He had years and years of experience, and he became my mentor and slowly introduced me to the business. He had to vet everything I did. I did a course through the University of Pretoria and WITS Technikon, and he guided me and watched over everything I did and all that. And slowly I developed a small hearing aid practice. Then in 1990, I happened to be visiting India. They call it an ashram in the north of India. Mm. Basically, it was a place where there was the biggest library of mystical literature in the world. And Henry, who I'd met briefly before, was there preparing for his master's thesis, was a worldview comparison between Tolstoy and Gandhi. And he also had access to a number of professors of philosophy. And I mooted the idea that he could maybe join me in a few years' time if he had nothing else to do, because either he'd have to go into academia or how he would translate his background and his studying into actually making a living, I wasn't sure. So I said, well, come and join me. Maybe we can make something work. And 3 years later, that's probably 25, 26 years ago, he joined me. And the rest is history. So basically, he's an incredibly bright guy. He's 16 years younger than me. And now he is, he's got much better handle on the nuts and bolts of running the business. I'm the dreamer. I'm the emotional, passionate version of the two of us. He is passionate as well, but he's also got his feet firmly rooted in the ground, whereas I'm sort of up in the clouds and my feet are probably not so much rooted in the ground. Mm. And as the business has grown, as it has, there's the systems that had to be put in place were a little bit beyond my ken, being a little bit disorganized in my mind. But I brought the passion to the business and a certain flavor to the business. And, you know, for my age at the moment, which I'm, you know, I've just turned 70, no desire to kind of retire. You know, most people are thinking at 65 that it's enough already. But the hearing aid industry is so full of new innovations and so interesting, and you know that it keeps your interest even at this stage. You know, the thrust is always good sound quality and the ability for a hearing instrument to differentiate between background noise and speech, so that a hearing aid can do what the brain can do, which is to extract speech from background noise. Mm. And we've visited many laboratories around the world, and we've seen the kind of research and development that they've achieved. One of the manufacturers has now achieved something close to what they call brain hearing, which is the ability for the hearing aid to work in a similar way to the way the brain works in extracting speech from background noise. And I found that particularly fascinating. A lot of the time, new innovations are good in theory, but poor in practice. And in this case, certainly a lot better in practice than just in theory. It's actually proven to be a wonderful breakthrough in technology. And all these type of new innovations keep one passionately involved in the industry and visiting occasionally the laboratories overseas. They take us to the research facilities there. They show us some of the experiments that they're doing. It's absolutely incredible the extent to which brain power is spent. I mean, you know, they've got the they don't just have electronic engineers working there. They have the cream of the electronic engineers around the world.
Yeah.
And it's quite something to experience. And they sometimes separate from their main kind of factory. They'll have a research laboratory in the country on a kind of farm setting where they can really kind of express their creativity and do their thing in a peaceful, harmonious environment rather than being in the middle of an industrial area. So, yeah, very interesting. And during this time, or before that, I'd studied the flute, the Dwarsflöte, as they call it, you know, the classical flute.
Mm.
And funny enough, somebody asked me the other day what inspired me, and it was actually Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull, who played that Bach Bourré, and I thought that just, I love it. And then I heard somebody play it in front of me, and I thought, now I've got to learn to play the flute. Mm. And I found an incredible teacher in Cape Town who taught me the flute, and at a very late age of sort of about 22, I started learning the flute. And that sort of tied in very much in the hearing aid industry because my passion is sound. And, you know, any hearing aid can give you back what's missing from your hearing, but very few can give it to you in a way that's very pure and
yeah.
very sweet and very, you know, good. And people in the hearing aid industry, it's also very fascinating that you can get two people with the same cultural background. They can be the same age. They can have the same taste in music, for example. But in sound, everybody has a unique take on sound. For example, if two of us were standing in front of a hi-fi and we were playing Beethoven's Violin Concerto, and I said to you, you set the hi-fi the way you like it. Now, you might like the violin to be sharp and clear and loud. I might not like loud. I might like more mellow, more bass. So I turn the treble down and I turn the bass up and I turn the volume down. Now, there's two people. We have the same cultural background. We have the same hearing loss, but two completely different tastes in sound. So
wow.
When you fit a hearing aid, you can't just say, well, this is what's missing from your hearing, and therefore I give you back what's missing. That's how the computer does it.
Mm.
But you've got to tune in very carefully and intuitively to the person's needs. And you've got to listen carefully to what they're telling you about what they're hearing. So the sound can be too tinny, or it can be sharp and clear and very sweet. And you've got to try and ascertain what it is about sound. You've got to watch their inflections, you know, like are they screwing up their face when they hear this, or, you know, turn that down. What is worrying you? You know, you've got to all the time try and extract the needs of the client to get the hearing aid working in a way that's pleasant and effective. It's got to be both, you see. So it's as opposed to, for example, ophthalmology, or what they call, you know, fitting glasses, optometry, which is pretty black and white. Either it's clear or it's blurred. It can't sort of be in between.
Mm.
Whereas hearing is all gray. There's no in between. I mean, there's all in between. There's no definite yes or no. It's for every person, you get a very, very different type of reaction and a very different need. And so hearing aid fitting is not just pure science. It's very, very creative and very intuitive. Yeah, that's my little take on it. And with a musical background, the passion is to tune a hearing aid and to acquire a hearing aid from a manufacturer that can achieve that. And there are, for example, certain manufacturers who, in the eyes of classically trained musicians, they have a preference. There's a preference for a specific manufacturer as a professional classically trained musician, because that particular hearing aid gives the type of response that they find most pure, for example. Yeah,
sure.
Interesting. So it's not just a matter of saying, well, I can't hear in a crowd and I just want to be able to hear in a crowd. How do you want to hear in a crowd? You don't just want to be able to understand the words. You want to understand them in a way that's pleasing to your brain.
Mm.
Yeah, pleasing to the auditory cortex of the brain. Yeah.
Wow. It really is a unique approach to fitting and listening to hearing aids, as your business partner Henry said. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, one of the major aspects of the way we deal with fitting a hearing aid is that we listen to it. We don't use some kind of an instrument or clip to listen to it. We actually take our own domes and we put it in our ear and we listen to it.
Mm.
And we no computer can pick up distortion. No computer can pick up sound quality. It can tell you what frequencies are working and what aren't working, but it can't tell you what the quality of the sound is like, the harmonics, you know.
True.
So in this case, putting it in our ear at every stage of the fitting is very important. You also get, you know, subtle coating of wax on the microphone or the receiver, and the computer won't pick that up. You've got to pick it up yourself. So it's not part of the establishment norm to put hearing aids in your ear, but we found that this is what gives us the advantage, and it proves itself, you know, that the success rate that we have is so high because of the fact that we actually listen to the hearing aid. When someone comes in and says, you know, it's sounding X, Y, Z, we can pick it up and listen to it in spite of the fact that I have a mild hearing loss. I take that into a consideration, and I then try and apply, you know, what I think is going to be the right decision in programming the hearing aid to make them happy.
It must all be very, very rewarding at the end of the day.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
What keeps me going is that, you know, you enter into a relationship with a client that is much, much more than just a patient-client relationship, patient sort of practitioner relationship, should I say. It's much more than that. You kind of it becomes quite personal, and they enter into the family of Hear Clearly. And we have people that come to us over and over and over every week just to be there and just to kind of they're welcomed into that atmosphere where they're not threatened and there's no pressure on them, and there are no kind of major issues that scare them away or anything like that. So, you know, you end up becoming a psychologist, a listening ear, a father, mother, a brother, sister figure. And one has to, unfortunately, I'm very bad at this, is I think I need like two, most people need an hour to do a hearing test and a fitting. I need two, because I get carried away with people's personal stuff. So when they start talking about their personal issues, you know, I engage them instead of saying, hang on, we must talk about that another time. We must get on with the hearing aid fitting. You know, half an hour goes by and I haven't actually started doing anything yet.
Yeah.
So, but that is so important because people need an ear. This, you know, as in life at the moment, so many people are so cut off and lonely that this is just an opportunity for them to vent, you know.
Mm.
But at the same time, you've got to keep redirecting them back to the business of the issue in the moment, you know. And you're trying to do your best. Also, with my background in music, I fitted, it was just by chance, because I play the flute, I joined a man who was my hero all my life, probably the greatest ever flute player, Sir James Galway.
Wow.
And I had the opportunity to attend a flute convention at University of Cape Town some 4 years ago, which he and his wife were conducting. They're both flute players. And at the time, I just happened to be testing out one of the manufacturer's latest hearing aids. And I was just astounded how, with my mild hearing loss, how much sweeter and more pleasant and more bright, more brilliant the flute sounded with the hearing aid in as opposed to out. So I said to Lady Jeannie, that's Sir James's wife, she's an American lady, wouldn't James like to just listen to my hearing? And she said, that's a very good idea. He can't hear the TV, he can't hear the news, and he's frustrated with that. So we put it in his ear, and he wouldn't give it back to me. You know, he said, you know, this is incredible.
Wow.
So I, at the end of the convention, I went back to collect all my equipment, come back to some wine farm outside Stellenbosch, and I tested his hearing, spent a few days there with him, became friends, had meals with him, and, you know, the rest is history. We fitted him with hearing aids. We communicated regularly. He'd WhatsApp me, we'd phone each other. 3 years later, I fitted him with a new brand of hearing aids, sort of keeping him up with the latest technology. And every time I listen to him, I think of the experience that I have. And he, you know, he's brought so much joy to my life with listening to his music. I had to repay him in some way, which I did.
Wow. And, sure. Yeah, that's an incredible story.
Good friend.
Yeah. But Frank, I mean, what a career. I mean, how many years have you now been doing this?
It's about 30.
Wow. About 30 that's years. Like my age. That's incredible. It's quite a long time.
Yeah. No, it's a while. It's a while, but it doesn't feel like it.
Mm.
It feels like, you know, and it's been an incredible journey.
Yes, it's sounds like
it. The people we've met, you know, in the industry and in the practice, amazing opportunities, and a lot of joy in when you can do something well for somebody, an enormous amount of joy.
I was saying to Henry last month when we spoke, it must be an incredible feeling seeing the light in a person's eyes when they hear properly for the very first time.
Yeah. You know, it's also interesting. You'd think that everybody would be like that, but some people just are more reserved in the way they express. So you'd, over a period of time, you'd start getting little bits and pieces of, wow, this has really changed my life. But it's not just a light up instantly. Sometimes there's an amazing reaction immediately. Sometimes it can take months. And then after 6 months, you might get a little aside. Somebody, one of your clients on an aside will say, you know, quietly, this has really just changed my whole life. I mean, I really couldn't imagine what life was like before.
Yeah.
And and that's very rewarding.
But what a great industry also to be in, because last time also with Henry, we spoke about the industry trends, and it's just ever changing and evolving.
Yeah.
So signs of slowing down, and that's why I can see why you're also still involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's phenomenal. And now they're kind of being incorporating heart rate monitor. You can do blood pressure. You can even sugar levels. You can have some kind of detector that will, whether someone falls over, they send an emergency message to an assigned number and
that's
all
amazing.
This sort of thing.
Yeah.
So they're incorporating that. And then the other thing is that you, with streaming, for example, at the moment I'm wearing hearing aids and I'm talking to you through my hearing aids. I'm not listening to this to the phone directly.
Oh, wow.
I'm listening through my hearing aids, which is not just now using one ear. I'm using both ears, and it's incorporating my hearing loss, which is mild, but nevertheless, I'm hearing so much clearer. So when you use the brain of a very good smartphone, for example, you can, with Apple, you've got Siri, so you can say, what is the weather forecast for tomorrow in Johannesburg? Because I'm flying to Johannesburg tomorrow, and it'll read it out to you in your ear. And you can command so much and hear it come back to you in your hearing aid. You know, if you're an American businessman, And you can be the Dow Jones. What's the Dow Jones average? What's the S&P average at the moment? Are there any delays in flights from Dallas coming through? You know, you've got access to a whole world of information, and it's all getting streamed to your hearing aids.
Sure.
So if you were a top businessman in New York, you, for example, even if you had no hearing loss, would actually be an advantage to actually have your hearing aids, some hearing aids put in your ears. Because the other thing is that it's one of the manufacturers connects to the internet. So, for example, there's a website called the Internet of Things where you can be manufacturers of electronics in a home will all register with this site. And then, for example, if you're driving home, you can say, open the garage door, and the door opens, put on the coffee percolator, and that goes on. Dim the lights or switch on the lights, open the curtains or close the curtains or whatever. Just by commanding, you can, through your hearing aids and the connection between streaming from your hearing aids to your smartphone, which is what I'm doing now, you've got full control of your life. It sounds complicated, but it's not. It's very, very simple.
Yeah, it's actually very convenient.
Yeah. And you can control your hearing aids with your smartphone as well. You can change the tone. You can change the volume. In fact, if you lose your hearing aids, you've even got a geolocate on your smartphone to find your hearing aids.
Wow. it's unreal.
that's the kind of, the work that some of the manufacturers of smartphones and the hearing aid industry have done together to kind of get the best use out of both.
Yeah, they should work together, yeah. So that's fantastic. So, Frank, obviously, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they come and visit you or come for a test?
You know, we have a number of lines in the various parts of South Africa, of the Garden Route, Port Elizabeth area, and we've got one toll-free number that we can phone. And, whether you are based in Port Elizabeth, Jeffreys Bay, or the Garden Route from Knysna to Mossel Bay, or Platte to Mossel Bay, should I say, you according to where you are, we can direct you to the nearest location for you. You'll be introduced to a great bunch of people. We are very proud and very, very, very enamored with our incredible staff. We've grown from Henry and I sitting in a dispensary in some pharmacy in Port Elizabeth.
He told
me. to 14 staff who are brilliant, absolutely brilliant and passionate about the work that they do, and really, really supportive of each other and in themselves, very competent at the work that they do, incredibly much so. Yeah, very, very. Very, very proud of our staff. They are amazing.
Frank, what an insightful chat. Really, really interesting. Thank you so much for your time today.
It was a great pleasure. Great pleasure indeed.
Thank you. And may you go from strength to strength, thanks to you. And we're keeping an eye and an ear on here, clearly. that's quite... Thanks so much.
Okay, it's a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
And have a good festive season.
Yes, you too.
Thank you.